time I read it, I wonder how we in 2016, how would we describe this man who calls himself Legion? Would we say that he has mental illness? Where would he end up living? A locked ward, maybe? On the street? Would we do a better job of loving and supporting him than his community? So many questions, so many sermons. However, this week, David Lowes, president of the Lutheran Theological Seminary in Philadelphia, pointed me in a different direction. In his writing this week, he encouraged me to consider not so much Jesus' healing of this man, but where he goes to find him. First, Jesus leaves the comfortable, predominantly Jewish area of Galilee and crosses the sea to the land of the Gerasenes. This is Gentile territory, not a place that a Jewish rabbi would normally venture. Once on land, he is encountered, you might say accosted, by a man possessed by an unclean spirit. And that's an interesting designation, reminding us that there are a variety of spirits, and some are life-giving, and others are not. This one is not. And in Jewish custom, this means that he's not only dangerous to himself and others, but he is religiously unclean. Even more, this man no longer dwells among the living in the local town, but rather resides among the dead in the tombs. And take further note that tombs are yet another place considered to be ritually unclean in Jewish law. All of which means that Jesus, the man who comes proclaiming the coming of the kingdom of God, goes to an unclean place, an unclean land, to meet a man possessed by an unclean spirit living in an unclean place. This, in short, is the very last place Jesus should be. Which, when we think about it, is exactly where God always shows up. At our moments of profound doubt, grief, loss, when we are defeated, and this is the one that seems to always surprise us, among those who may to this point have little interest in or even a relationship with God, no relationship with God. And what's more is that after this encounter, Jesus sails back home again, which may mean that this whole thing, trek across a stormy sea, a run-in with angry townspeople who are upset about the loss of their livestock, and who are rather frightened by Jesus' power, seems quite possible that all of this was in order to meet this unclean man possessed by an unclean spirit living in an unclean, forsaken environment. Which, as David Lowes says, suggests that there is absolutely nowhere God is not willing to go to reach and free and heal those who are broken and despairing. In the wake of events in Orlando 1 week ago, I think we need to remember that there is no place on earth that is God forsaken. And more importantly than that, There is no person who is God forsaken. No matter the words, unclean, outcast, abandoned, unpopular, incarcerated, unbeliever. No one is left out. Everyone's in. In fact, after Jesus healed this man, there's no indication that he later became Jewish or even Christian, for that matter. He wants to follow Jesus, but Jesus sends him back home with the instructions, go and tell what God has done for you. So not only are there no religious requirements, there seem to be no conditions at all in order for God to love you, in order for God to go so far as seek you out. You don't have to be wealthy or poor. You don't have to be from one ethnic group or another. You don't have to have believed your whole life or come to faith recently or, it seems, have any faith at all. Jesus seeks out everyone. Even this unclean man possessed by an unclean spirit living in an unclean place. So that's it. God loves all. As Paul wrote in the letter that we heard Brenda read to us, male and female, young and old, gay and straight, refugee and citizen, believers and non-believers, Christian, Jewish, Buddhist, Muslim, atheist, the list goes on and on. So, we must ask ourselves, where then are we willing to go? Whom are we willing to love? I think that we need to own the fact, the difficult fact, that we both corporately as part of the church in history and individually, we have perpetuated stereotypes, we have judged, we have failed to love. So now is the time for us to stop looking at others and seeing anything but the reflection of God's face. I was hungry and you fed me. I was lonely and you visited me. I was sick and you took care of me. I was a refugee and you welcomed me. I was persecuted and you stood up for me. You stood beside me. You loved me. This is not easy work, I know. But it is our call. Those of us who claim to follow Jesus, we are called to love as boldly as Jesus does, knowing that God is with us, filling our hearts, guiding our feet, and opening our arms. It is my prayer that we may be as changed by this grace of God as that Gerizim man.